we're going to kind of roughly be, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2 first and then James chapter 1. And I would like it if you would follow along, if you possibly can, go to Ephesians chapter 2 first and then James chapter 1. I had a dream last night, so I'm going to talk about that first. And right before I make an altar call, I'm going to give you all a little something God spoke to my heart last week. I wish I'd have said something about it last week, but I didn't. You only get one shot at that. I was telling Johnny at the door, you only get one shot at that same crowd, you know. The crowd's different every week. But where's something that's got to change in our mentality here at Flat Top Church? We'll talk about that at altar call. I want to talk about this dream I had last night. I know some of you are scared out of your mind right now. Man, preacher's going to be talking about his dreams, you know. Well, I know it's a God thing because it's 4 o'clock in the morning. God woke me up. I knew it was the Lord. And then I began to ask for wisdom and understanding in it. I was in the Marine Corps, and I don't have a whole lot of Marine Corps dreams or nightmares or, you know, I'll be honest with you, I love serving in the Marine Corps. I love serving for our country, but I'll be honest with you, I wasn't a 20-year veteran. I was a 4-year veteran in the United States Marine Corps. I learned some things while I was in there, mostly discipline and some leadership skills. But I had this dream. Charlie, I thought about you when I was having the dream, but you wasn't doing nothing weird in the dream, but I guess I had to classify that. Clarify, not classify. But he's got 2 sons that serve in the military. I guess that was it. But I was dreaming, and I seen this 5-ton truck. If you don't know, it's a troop carrier. It's a big truck. Some people know what that is. On the back of it, there's when I first joined the Marine Corps, first time I'd ever been in the field, we went out on a 2-week out in the field, serving in the field, training in the field. I seen this. I knew what it was right away. It said potable water on the back of it. I'm not the dumbest person in the world. I understood what potable was. Potable means you can drink it. It said potable water. So I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, you know, just like last night in the dream, one of the sergeants hollers out, says, get the water jug, go over to the water bowl, and get the water, right? And then bring the water over here, and then disperse the water amongst troops. Does that make sense to you? I mean, y'all ain't got to be in the military to figure this out. The water bowl came from somewhere where there was a mass amount of water, a place where you can draw a whole bunch of water and put it in a wagon of sorts. What? And then you take that and you take it out to the field and you park it. And everybody centrally comes to that place to unload the water. And then that water goes in jugs to the canteens. And the canteens go into, you might, I know I'm giving you some basic stuff right here that you're like, man, that ain't top-notch stuff. I'm telling you what God gave it to me. And he was saying, Jesus is the eternal water source. And some of us are hooked up to that water source. And I don't like that. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you who I am. At this point right here, I'm the water bull. This church is the water bull. You ain't got to be a genius to figure out what this is when you go by it. It's a place that we're supposed to have Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we're supposed to be a little bitty factory in here, and we're supposed to be turning out teachers, preachers, evangelists, and missionaries. If you didn't know, that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, I thought it was just a place we assembled. You know, the believers assembling there together, and it's what we do, and then we go back home. No, we're supposed to be training people up and sending people out that can stand up and proclaim Jesus Christ. So what we're supposed to be doing is we're supposed to be sending out water jugs to the troops where they can fill up their canteens. Is that all right? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, God put this on my heart starting in January. we're going to start to affect this community. We are going to start to send the water out. This is going to be the main focus and the goal of this. If we want that building to be something, if we want this church to be something, we've got to be willing to reach somebody else outside these four walls. And you say, well, that was just a dream. God don't wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning unless he's trying to tell me something. Amen? And I want to be a part of changing this world for the gospel. That's my vision for this. And I've got some ideas on that. But what my prayer for you this morning would be this. God, how can I be a part of that? How can I be a water jug? I'll go to the water bowl and fill up. But then who do you want me to go to? And how do you want me to go to them? Y'all be praying about that. Y'all ready to get in the Word? I hope y'all are excited as I am. I've had some weird stuff. I had a crazy migraine headache Friday. One of the worst things I've ever experienced. I've had a couple of migraine headaches in my day. But I had one Friday. I thought I was giving myself. I was like, man, by Sunday, I don't know if I'm going to be right or not. So I laughed about that. And there's some other things going on. So I thought, man, it's going to be rough. But I'm going to stand here and preach to you because God's given me the ability to do it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Y'all see it? Y'all see verse 8? Hey, Gary, do you see it? No, he don't see it. I hate when I call people out like that. Anybody else go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8? Are you there? Hey, will you read it out loud real quick? Sorry, Gary. I'll embarrass every one of my councilmen if I can. I know you will. Did y'all get that? Can I break that down for you? And I know it's Sunday morning, and every one of y'all know more than I'll ever know, and that's good. But watch this right here. For by grace are you saved. I don't know if y'all are shouting a bunch or not like that, but man, there's some of you. I don't know everybody in this crowd, but there's about 5 or 10, about 100 of you, that need that. Just I know you don't shout. I know you don't raise your hand. But, man, every once in a while, just move your finger. You know, your trigger finger. Just do this right here. Just do that right there. Say, man, if it hadn't been for the grace of God, I wouldn't be in here. If it hadn't been by the grace of God, I wouldn't be in here. I got saved by grace. I know I broke this down for you a million times. It's unmerited favor. That's where God saved you. You know, before you get saved, you got to come to God and tell him you ain't worth saving. You got to confess your sins before you get saved. What you got to do is you got to come to God and say, here's what I've done that I don't qualify for your salvation. And God says, oh, I'm so glad to hear that. So here's where I can save you. Here's where I can give you grace. I can save you because you found yourself unsavable. For by grace are you saved. Man, I love this. I love this so much. And not of yourself. There's not going to be one of you in heaven that are going to stand up on that day and say, look what I did. We're all going to say, look what he did. Look what he did for us. I mean, when we get up there, there are going to be some great, great people. One of my favorites is going to be Billy Graham's going to be up there. I don't know if you like Billy Graham, but you'd do yourself a favor. If you're under the age of 20 and you got satellite radio, you know what you need to do? Just turn over there to the Billy Graham channel. Don't listen to all of them. Listen to one message he preaches. And you'll find out real quick what's missing in our world today. We've got people they call America's pastor today wouldn't preach blood, cross, repentance, or salvation, heaven or hell. They'd miss it. They'd tell you about how to get your blessing, how to be blessed, highly favored, and all that. You know what? The greatest blessing you'll ever have is knowing that you are saved by the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Knowing that a wretched sinner like you is going to enter into the portals of glory. But one day, even Billy Graham will be sitting there and he'll say, is there anybody worthy? Is there anybody worthy? And Billy Graham will have to stand there with his hands on his side. John the Revelator, who penned it, Is there anybody worthy? And he melted like a wax candle and fell on his face and said, oh, none are worthy. But the angel said, stand up, son. There's one. Golly bum. I don't know if y'all ever get happy, but there's one. The slain Lamb of God is worthy. And then it said, we broke out into a new song. He is worthy. He is worthy. Not we are worthy. He is worthy. When you get to heaven, I've thought about it. My mansion, my crown, my streets of gold, gates of pearl. Praise God. We will not fling that crown off fast enough when we get in the presence of Jesus. When you get in the presence of Jesus, I don't care if they put on the most beautiful crown you've ever seen. You will become a casting crown fan immediately. Whew. You will throw that at His feet and you will slide at the feet of Jesus and you will say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I know I'm preaching to a bunch of people that, man, y'all are pretty good. I know you are. But, man, I am a wretched, wretched sinner. God dug me up out of the pits of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid ground. And then He established my goings. And praise God, I'm still just excited to be in the family. I don't care about being a preacher. I don't care about titles. Not money, not nothing. Just the fact that I'm a child of His. I'm still excited about that. I'm still blown away about that. And every once in a while I say, hey, will you tell somebody about it? I would love to. But I tell myself more than I tell anybody else. Because there's times when I ride down the road and I'll think, man, I'm thinking, my God, I shouldn't even be able to be here. To be able to open up this book and to tell anybody about Jesus, that's icing on the cake. That's icing on the cake. To know my end. Do you know your end? Do you know where you'll end? Do you know where you'll end? Do you know if you drew your last breath where your end will be? Man, I've got an expected end. When I didn't think I'd draw another breath, I knew one thing and one thing only. God is good. He's good to me. And I'm all right with whatever you do. God, I hope you know that today. I hope you know that. Because all the houses and the monies and the jobs and the things you have, man, those things will disappear in a heartbeat when you're laying there thinking, I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this or not. I'll guarantee you this, that won't matter. That won't matter if you don't know. But when you do know, everything's a little sweeter. Everything's a little better. Everything's a little better. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. The greatest gift you will ever receive is salvation. My God. And that's what we're going to get to preach on this morning, is the greatest gift. I want you to turn over to the book of James with me. James chapter 1, verse 17. Took me a little deciphering. Anybody else want to read that? Gary, do you want to read it? Please do. Man, I don't learn. I learn stuff a lot. And when I learn it, I like to share it right away. That way I won't forget it. Man, I learned this about Jesus, about God. He goes, every good gift. Man, I want to write this down. Every good gift you ever got, it came from God. Every good thing, amen? And I believe God gives you good things in life just to remind you where they came from. But then you might want to put a little hashtag on that little note right there. Don't fall in love with the gift. Fall in love with the gift giver, amen? But He has said He is the Father of lights. Do you know what God did? God created all the lights in the heavens. Woo, glory. That ain't much to us, I don't think, sometimes. We just, you know, we look up in the sky. I'm a simple man. I mean, I get happy about right here. Go out in the middle of the country and just walk outside and look up and see the stars and the moon and go, wow, that's beautiful. Amen? You know what God says he done is he knows the name of every, and it's at every star he knows the name of. He put, listen, this is how big your God is. He put them in the palm of his hand and flung them out into the universe, flung them out into space, and he knows every one of them's name. But then he says he done something else which blows you away. He made the sun. He made the sun. I might have said this last week. You know, we can take every nuclear bomb that's on the face of this planet, shoot it into the sun, and the sun wouldn't even do a hiccup. They scientists say, and people say, they say the sun is like an erupting nuclear bomb all the time. Amen? But see, this is what I learned. That's what I'm sharing with you. Watch this right here. The sun, they said the sun can be kind of thought less of if the clouds or weather patterns or time of day when you don't see the sun, you can kind of forget that it's there. Okay, we live on Flat Top Mountain, and there's some days that it gets foggy and windy and rainy, and you can almost forget there's a sun for a couple of days. All right, okay, I live in the same place you do. Okay, good. And you'll think, man, where is the sun? And then like maybe 3 or 4 days of that, and you get kind of down and low, and you're like, man, I hate driving through this fog. Do I even remember the road that I live on? And next thing you know, one day the sun will come out, and it'll be the blue sky, and you'll be like, man, there's the sun. Man, that's a powerful thing. Man, it brings warmth. It brings growth. It brings everything I need. The whole universe revolves around the sun. It rolls around it. But you, just for a minute, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. Just for a little bit, you kind of forgot who the sun was. You know what God said? He said, I'm the one who hung that thing in the sky. And there ain't no shadow. There ain't no weather pattern. There ain't no cloud. There ain't no rain. There ain't nothing. There ain't no depression. There ain't no anxiety. There ain't no fear. There ain't no heartache. There ain't nothing that can cover up who I am. I am the one that I bring all the gifts that tells you, listen, when everything settles down, when everything goes away, when you get down to the baseline of baselines, I am God. I will always be God. And if you need me, I'm still here even when the sun ain't shining. Praise God. Boy, ain't that good. I found God on my cloudiest, darkest days as good as I found him on my bright days. Let's go over here. I'm going to finish up. I promise I won't be too long. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. I thought about this man who got the second best gift he ever got in his life. On that day, he probably thought it was his best. Have you ever got a gift from God and you kind of knocked it down as your greatest gift? I have. I remember when my son was born. I hugged my father-in-law. You don't know what that means, but I'd never hugged my father-in-law. I don't even know if I've hugged him since. Not that I don't love the man. He's a good man. He's kind of like Charles Bronson. He's just not a hugger, and I ain't either. But I hugged him that day. I hugged him. I think I squeezed the life out of him because I received a good gift. Amen? I received a good gift, and I thought it was the greatest, grandest gift that a wretched man like me could receive. It was the first time. It was not the first time I'd ever been loved, but it was the first time I loved something more than I loved myself. It's about 6 months prior to my salvation. It's almost like Zacchaeus here. It's about 6 months before Christmas came. Amen? Y'all get what I'm saying. Y'all ask me after church what that means. But Zacchaeus is the father of John the Baptist, who came about 3 months to 6 months before Jesus, which is real Christmas. Amen? And he had a son that was born. And I want to kind of let y'all in on what Zacharias, got too many Z's in there. Zacharias, like, he gets a bad rap in the Bible. Have you ever had a bad rap? It's good to start out with a bad rap, but not end with one. Zacharias was approached. He was a priest. He was approached in the temple, and God told him what he was going to be, the father of the forerunner. He didn't get on board right away, and God shut his mouth. Amen. He shut his mouth for the whole pregnancy, all the way through the 9 months. He shut his mouth. Listen, guys, it ain't a bad thing for God to shut you up. Matter of fact, I bet Zachariah looks back on this, probably said best years of his life, best months of his life. Amen? Because listen, it don't matter how you start. It doesn't matter how you begin. It's how you finish. Amen? And Zachariah sitting there watching the whole thing go by. Sometimes God will get you quiet. He'll silence you down. He'll put some things in your life where you can learn from those things. I've learned more when I've listened than more when I've talked. Amen? And all of a sudden, there he is. Zachariah is sitting in there, and he's watched. He's watched when him and his wife weren't going to have babies. They were never going to have kids. They had already kind of signed off on the deal. But he said, I love Zachariah. You know what he said? God, I'll serve you anyway. Amen? When you find Zacharias, he's in the temple doing his priestly duty. He's up there doing that, and his wife's supporting him. Praise God. They love Jesus. They love God anyway, despite them not getting the greatest gift they've ever wanted. I could preach that. Will you serve God when everything don't go your way? They could have had a chip on their shoulder a mile tall. They could have, well, man, God, I could. Well, you know how good we, God even says they're good people, but he didn't give them what they wanted. He don't always give you what you want, but he'll give you what you need when you need it. All of a sudden, there he is, working his whole life, and all of a sudden God comes in there and then starts wrecking things when he thought, wait a minute, I'm past doing, I don't think it's my best years. God never does anything for you or to you when you think you should be doing it. Because if it would, you'd be on you. But all of a sudden, God comes in there, wrecks him, and then he puts him out. The cousin, that's Elizabeth, she puts her out there for a while. But then all of a sudden, Mary gets a baby, a miracle baby. And all of a sudden, they're out there doing their thing, worshiping God, waiting on John the Baptist. And all of a sudden, God sends Mary out there to him, and Mary comes to the house. Zacharias can't say a word. His wife just rattling on constantly, 24/7, 365. He ain't got no rebuttals. His prayer life is amazing. God, I need an answer. I need some help. I can't even speak for myself. And you know what? Then all of a sudden God shows up. In the midst of his silence, in the midst of all the stuff, and guess what? All of a sudden, baby Jesus, I preach this every year. Get used to it. I'll preach it again next year. All of a sudden, here comes Jesus in Mary's belly. He's only about three months old. He barely microscopic. Man, Ed, if you preached on that, that'd be amazing. When the God of the universe, who held all the stars in his hands, gets in a belly and becomes microscopic, you can't even see him, but one time he was so big you can't contain him. Never mind. I guess y'all don't get excited about stuff like that. But praise God, there's Jesus on the inside of the woman about 3 months old, rolls up to Elizabeth, who's standing there at the house. Mary says, hello to the house. All of a sudden, Elizabeth comes out and says, who is it? And he says, oh, it's Mary, my cousin. But all of a sudden, my God, I'm about to lose my mind up in here. All of a sudden, that little baby in there, John the Baptist, says, I know who it is. Anybody in here ever have your gift take over for who you are? When the anointing comes, when you don't even know what you're doing, but you're doing it anyway. All of a sudden you're talking about Jesus, you didn't know you was talking about Jesus. All of a sudden you're singing, you didn't know he was singing. I mean, do anybody in here got a gift from the Lord and you're mowing your yard and all of a sudden God gets in the lawnmower with you? All of a sudden, man, Mary and him, but both of them standing there face to face, and all of a sudden John the Baptist starts leaping in the womb saying, I know who he is. God, I wish some of y'all, man, I'm telling y'all, y'all are the coolest Christians I ever seen in my life. Some of y'all ain't never lost no control. Some of y'all never got out of control with Jesus. None of y'all ever get flooded. None of y'all ever go, my God, I'm sorry, I can't help myself. John the Baptist said, I know, my one job, I got one job. Man, Scott, I only got one gear. I've only got one thing. John the Baptist said, I only got one. I'm the forerunner. I only got one job, but I'll do that one job better than everybody else will. There he is.
And all of a sudden, Saint Elizabeth got happy. All of a sudden, she's praising God. Next thing you know, here's John the Baptist and Jesus both standing in the wombs. And guess what they're in? They're in bumbly. They're in the fluid. Whew, I almost said a bad, not logical word. They're in a fluid, amen? But guess what? The next time these two yahoos meet, they will be standing in the Jordan River face to face, once again in fluid, and the other one will say, I need to be baptized to you. And John the Baptist will say, my God, I need you more than you need me. Have you ever said that to God? He'll say, I need you. And you'll say, God, but I need you more than you need me. Yeah, but I need you to operate in this temporal time because I'm going to operate in the eternal time. Get busy. Some of y'all need a 2020, 2022 revelation. Get busy. Get as busy serving God as you've been busy serving yourself. You've told God for years, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to get involved. I'm not good. I'm not prepared. Praise God. Take one big step out in faith and see God work in your life. There are too many people around and near your life for you to be complacent now. Then all of a sudden, I promise I'm going to be fast from this point forward. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. He receives the gift. He got his baby and his father. I lied again. Zachariah was given the opportunity to get his mouth open. Would he write something in silence? The mother said, his name will be John. And all the people, God, I'd like to tell all the people, all the people said, there's no John in your family. You can't name him John. Zacharias, he's looking around at everybody and he's going on the inside, we didn't get to name him. God did. We can't name what God puts in our life. He's like, I don't know what, I can't get it out. But he's like, Give me something to write with. John. And then God opened his mouth because he finally got on God's plan with God's name and God's ideas. You know, God will open your mouth and use you and send you if you'll just get on God's plan. Quit talking for yourself and get on God's plan. So he's got the gift. And now watch what happens when somebody... I wish I could say, I'll look down at the word when I say it. Some of y'all need to shut up until God puts the words in your mouth instead of yours. I'm sorry, I wasn't looking at nobody. I was just looking. And look what happens when he waited. And after his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, listen, it's better to speak when you're full of God. Amen? Instead of full of self. Some of you are a little aggravated, I'm sorry. Verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He's already said two great things. He's already said a great thing, but he's not even mentioned the gift that he got. He's talking about Jesus saving the world and his people. Have you seen it yet? Once you really see who Jesus is, all your gifts will be recognized. You'll recognize your gifts are gifts to bring Jesus and the salvation to other people. You will see that the gift was given to you to bring you to the understanding that God is God and you're not. Verse 69, and he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He's not even talking about John the Baptist. He's not talking about his only son. He's glorifying Jesus who gave him the great gift of having a son, but he knows the son is only going to point to the Savior, and that's what he's going to do from now on is just point to the Savior. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which he had been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. God's remembering his covenant, and my son's going to point the way to Jesus, and I'm going to point the way to Jesus. Is there anybody else in here who's going to make up your mind and say, for the rest of my life, I'm going to point somebody to Jesus? Your mother needs it. Your father needs it. Your children need it. Your neighbors need it. Your co-workers need it. The people that work for you need it. They need Jesus more than they need anything else. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. The oath which He sware to our father Abraham that He would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him with great fear. He delivered me out of my enemies, and He done the same for you. In holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go forth the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. You know what He just said? Son, I don't want you to do anything that I've got a plan for you. I want you to do what God's called you to do. We can absolutely bring children into this world, but we need to let God have His purpose and His will in their lives. Sometimes God will take a child and do something with them that you don't think they're going to do with them. Well, God ain't doing what I wanted them to do. Guess what? We need to get on board with God's plan, and it'll turn out into a better situation. I love His Son to give light to them that sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit. It was in the desert till the day of His showing unto Israel. Our whole job and purpose is to take this light of the gospel into the dark, into the places, into the people that are sitting in the darkness. That is our job and that is our position. And we need to take it at a high level. Let's all stand. I'm ask whoever's singing come. But I've got one more thing that I've got to share with you. I should have said it last week. And matter of fact, I think I said it on a Wednesday night here or a Sunday night, and it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair to say to that because it wasn't the whole church body that I believe is here today. And was really here last week, but I'm just going to read this to you, and I'm going to say it. And this is the way God gave it to me. It was about Monday or Tuesday of last week, and it's just been simmering. So I'm going to say this, and this is what we're going to have our altar call with, okay? Jesus, in Matthew 23, verse 37, you ain't got to go there. I'm just going to read it to you real quick, and I'll explain what I'm doing, and we're going to have altar call. It said, O Jerusalem, thou hast killed the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Guys, we just went through the hardest time I've ever seen in church ministry. Been in this for almost 20 years. I've never seen anything like what we've seen in 2020 and 2021, ever. There's no blueprint. There's nothing out there that says this is how you pastor through this, this is how you go to church through this, or nothing. But I do know one thing. In this church building, every Sunday and every Wednesday, every Sunday since we've been back, there are people coming in and out of this sanctuary that have got sickness, bitterness, confusion, loss of control, sickness you can't handle, some aggravation that you don't know what to do with, some things going on in your families, some things going on with your children, some things going on in your marriages. And here's what happens. You come in here, and we go through this service, and nobody's crying out to God and pouring out to God all those things. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I thought when we all got to come back to church and we'd all get back kind of like what we're doing right now, I thought it would be one of the spark with the greatest revivals that's ever heard of because the church people came back. We didn't come back the way we should have came back. We should have came back on our faces. Help us deal with the grief. Help us deal with the isolation. Help us deal with the things that are really bothering us. Help me come back and be grateful to be back and be joyful. That's what I thought. And that's what's needed. Because if we're not careful, just like the children of Israel or Jerusalem at that time, they would never bend. They'd never bow. They had never been to Jesus until it was too late. Until it was too late. Jesus is telling you the same thing this morning, and this is in the Spirit. He said, I would love to put my wings over you and cover you and protect you, but you keep rejecting that opportunity. And all that's going to do is you're going to keep trying to figure out how to fix it yourself. And I tell you that's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt everybody around you. As we sing,
that's the message.